You're listening to Coach's Corner with John Anderson on the CompuSports Radio Network.
Welcome to Coach's Corner on the CompuSports Radio Network. I'm John Anderson, your host, and this week, a special surprise. We're going to be on location in Asheville, North Carolina at A.C. Reynolds High School, where we will talk with head coach Shane Laws about his high-tempo spread offense that they run over there at A.C. Reynolds. The topic this week, high-tempo spread offense with Coach Shane Laws, coming up after this.
Easy Cut from CompuSports is a fast and enjoyable way to edit and analyze your game videos. Watch entire games on your computer, then label and index plays with a click of a mouse. Copy scenes to CD, DVD, or a memory stick, and upload to online video sharing sites like YouTube. Search and sort plays by keywords, then pause, restart, rewind, and even watch frame by frame for fast and detailed video analysis. EasyCut is compatible with XP, Vista, and Windows 7. Download the 21-day free trial now or order on CD and discover how easy it is to start analyzing your game videos today.
This is the CompuSports Radio Network.
This segment of Coach's Corner is sponsored by CompuSports, publisher of the Easy Scout Professional, an affordable all-in-one football scouting and editing program. Easy Scout Professional, available at CompuSports.com. We're on location in Asheville, North Carolina, at the gymnasium of A.C. Reynolds High School in the Fairview section of Asheville, which is south on 74 for those of you in western North Carolina. And we have as a special guest today, he's allowed the world's worst radio host to come and invade his premises, Coach Shane Law at A.C. Reynolds High School. Welcome to Coach's Corner.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You've been speaking with Glazier. You were at the Charlotte Clinic here in February, and you've had a lot of great success here. As a matter of fact, when we were talking before the program, you were going back and referencing A.C. Reynolds' success over the years, going back to the T formation and the Notre Dame box, and you've made the transition into the spread, which you've had great success with using a no-huddle style in your spread. What makes the A.C. Reynolds spread different from everyone else's?
Well, I think, you know, when you talk about spread football, it's a wide brush, but and everybody's kind of got their own thing. We've borrowed and stolen from a lot of different people to create our version of the spread, and the nuts and bolts of it we got from Appalachian State, and you know that's the zone read, the inside zone. Everything that we do comes off of our inside zone. But from there, you know, you start talking about speed. We've got a lot from Oregon, where we're trying to work and run our offense as fast as we can. What makes us different than anybody else? Hopefully we can attack all over the field. Whatever you take away, then you're going to give us something. And that's, for us, we want to be able to score points and move the ball up and down the field as quickly as possible and in as many ways as possible. And you say, well, that's, you know, everybody wants to do that, but we genuinely want to be able to do that every Friday night. It's not just a game plan, we're going to attack this way this Friday and then next Friday we're going to do this. We want to be able to do everything every Friday night.
You want to dictate the pace,
basically. Exactly. We want to control the pace of the game. You know, our saying in our locker room is we want to try to make the other team uncomfortable with the speed that we're playing at, the tempo that we're playing at mainly. We don't want defenses to be able to make big adjustments, allow them to get people on and off the field, and we want to decide if we're going fast or we're going slow.
One of the things that you had said, and I know we're all guilty of it as a coach, you had made the statement that you've stolen a little bit from here, gotten a little bit from there, and we all steal what we like. We've all done it as far as coaches, and the ones who say they don't, they're liars. We all know that. So that's one of the things, at least I'm glad that you brought that up. We'll talk about a little bit about that here a little bit. But first, tell me a little bit about yourself before we go any further.
I'm from North Carolina. I'm I'm from Catawba County. Went to high school at Newton Conover High School. Played there under Coach Don Patrick, who in my opinion is one of the great high school coaches that this state has ever had. From there, went to Appalachian. Was a walk-on there for a little while until I realized that I was a lot better high school player than I was a college player. And then dealt with a few injuries and that kind of thing. But I think college football not really working out the way I had pictured it probably was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it made me realize, one, how much I enjoyed the game and how much I missed it when I didn't have it. And it was kind of one of those things that helped me realize that, you know, maybe coaching, that's the thing. That's the next step for me. From there, graduated from Appalachian State, and my first job out of college was in Wilkes County. Coached a year at East Wilkes High School under George Westcott, and kind of got my feet wet with it. It was 1A school. You know, 1A, to me, 1A football is a whole different ballgame in this state. That's a special coach. The numbers you're playing with, and so many guys are playing both ways, and you could lose a great player, and everything changes very quickly for those guys with one player going out. I have a lot of admiration for those guys in the job that they do with 1A, but it taught me a lot. And from there, just because of mutual connections, I got with Bobby Poss, and he was looking for a young coach here at Reynolds in 97, and he asked me to come up and got the job here, and have been here ever since. Worked my way up from a position coach to a coordinator, and then when Steve McCurry left as our head coach in 2006, I took over as a head coach.
2009, A.C. Reynolds, the 4A State North Carolina champion, which that trophy sits alongside a number of state champion trophies that A.C. Reynolds has acquired over the years. What was special about the 2009 team that really sticks in your mind?
Well, I think that the biggest thing is the way those guys played. The inside makeup of those guys that you don't necessarily see on film, but just the kind of character that those guys played with. You know, going into that season in 09, we knew we had a lot of talented young players, but the thing in the Asheville area and all the preseason publications and everything, we were rebuilding. And we really were, because we had just graduated a class of about 23 really good seniors from the 2008 team. And you know, we had a smaller senior class in 2009, had a lot of young guys. But there were a lot of young guys that could play, and the seniors we had left over were all tough, hardworking kids. And, you know, that team just got better and better and better each week. And as a coach, everybody says that, we want to get better each week. But, I mean, man, that's a struggle to really get better and play a little better each week, because you're going to have off weeks, you're going to have guys hurt, this, that, and the other that you deal with. But we actually got a little bit better each week, despite injuries and all the other things that you deal with. And by the time we got to the playoffs, you know, we weren't playing pretty good football. And with a team that was supposed to be rebuilding and end up winning some close nail-biter games in the playoffs, ended up, you know, winning a second-round game against Alexander Central that we really could have easily lost. And then I think the last three games of the season we won by 4 points total and to win the state championship. But these were guys that just refused to lose. And no matter what, they had confidence in themselves. They had confidence in their ability that they could get the job done, and they did. Every Friday night, they just found a way to get it done. And, you know, on paper, a lot of times, you know, maybe we shouldn't have won some of those games. But, you know, that's to me, that's football, and especially high school football. If you get a group of guys that are willing to spill their guts for each other and work their tails off, there's a lot of possibilities. And I think that's unlike any other sport, because – you know, obviously you've got to have guys that can run and make plays. But to be able to get a big group of guys together all going in the same direction, it's hard to stop that. And we kind of got that wave going and, you know, ended up with those guys, you know, wearing rings. It was a season that I'll never forget. You'll remember them all for different reasons. But that particular group, it was just their heart and their will.
We're on location in Asheville, North Carolina at A.C. Reynolds High School. You're listening to the Coach's Corner Radio Show. Back after this with more Coach Shane Long.
Over a quarter century, CompuSports has provided high-quality, easy-to-use coaching software to high school and college football coaches at prices that do an end-around on limited athletic budgets. Our EasyScout line of football scouting and video editing software improves the process of collecting, organizing, and analyzing information about the plays in a game, helping coaches save time while gaining a competitive edge. EasyScout products have always been easy to learn, easy to use, and built to adapt to a football coach's own terminology. The current version of the EasyScout Professional Scouting and Video Editing System delivers the kind of analysis and reporting capabilities that can cost up to five times as much. CompuSports EasyScout software, because game day is only part of your job.
You're listening to Coach's Corner with John Anderson on the CompuSports Radio Network.
This segment of Coach's Corner is sponsored by CompuSports, publisher of the EasyCut video editing software program. EasyCut works for any sport and starts at just $195. EasyCut, the affordable video editing software, available at CompuSports.com.
We're on location in Asheville, North Carolina, and with me I have Coach Shane Laws of AC Reynolds High School. And we're going to be talking a little bit of spread offense and their bread and butter play, the zone read. But before we go there, I'd like to drop a statistic on you. The four top winning programs in the state of North Carolina over the last 15 years. Number one, Asheville High School, not surprising. Traditionally a very big powerhouse in a lot of sports. Number two, AC Reynolds, a very close second. Number three, Brevard, down in Brevard, North Carolina, Brevard High School. And number four, Canton, North Carolina, where Pisgah High School is, probably home of one of the top 10 rivalries in the country between Pisgah and Tuscola High School. Does Reynolds consider one school a rival over all the other ones?
We've got a couple. I would say probably Asheville's our big one. You know, we're 5 minutes apart, and a lot of the kids that play here are related to kids that play for Asheville and vice versa. And it's, you know, for a lot of years, it's the top team in this area or Western North Carolina has been decided by who won the Asheville-Reynolds game. And Asheville's obviously had a ton of success and won a state championship and played for, you know, a couple more and all. And we've had the opportunity and been lucky enough to win a few state championships. So it's kind of it's a respect rivalry. It's not one of those, oh, we hate you, we want to beat you just because we can't stand you. It's one of those that, you know, you respect what they've done. And I think they have a mutual respect for what we've done, but each and every year, to be the top dog, you got to win that game. So certainly that's a big one for us and one that we want to win. But you know, and then we've got another rivalry. You go 5 minutes the other way, you talk about, you know, we're playing T.C. Robertson, who's another one that's had a lot of success over the years in a lot of different sports. And football-wise, you know, they've had some success, especially lately. And their guys always play extremely hard. That's kind of more your, I guess, your dislike rivalry. Just because we're similar in the makeup of our schools and we're real close together and each of us want to win that game just to brag about it.
But they're not bringing outhouses on and dumping them on the school grounds in the middle of the night like they are with Pisgah and Tuscola, I guess.
Well, there's some stuff that's went on. Nobody's brought an outhouse yet, but there's definitely some stuff that's went on. I'm not going to give anybody any ideas, though, because these kids are pretty creative once they start getting things popping in their head.
All right, we are here to talk about the spread zone read that AC Reynolds runs, and I'm going to turn the floor over to Coach Laws, and he's going to school me on this zone read because I'm absolutely stupid at this.
Well, you know, the zone read is the base of our offense. Everything comes off of the zone, and call it a zone read because the quarterback has got a read. He decides whether he's going to give or keep the football. Ours is an inside zone, which means we're running it in between the tackles. The one thing that I love about it is my roots are in eye football, and there was holes. You know, you run here, you run there. The zone read, I don't even attempt to try to tell a tailback where it's going to be. I can tell him it's going to be between the tackles, somewhere between the left tackle and the right tackle. And basically what we're trying to do is we're in a regular even 40 front, we're going to try to get a double on the one technique. We're going to try to scoop the backside three technique. Our right tackle or left tackle will turn out the play side end, and we're going to read the backside end, and we're going to try to climb to those backers off of our double team. So it's kind of a it requires some patience with your tailback, because he's got to see where this thing's going to break. But what we're asking our offensive linemen, and it fits with our offensive linemen, because traditionally we don't have the big, powerful offensive linemen. You know, we play with a lot of 200 to 220 pound quick offensive linemen, and what we're asking them to do is step quick, get on people, and just run their feet and take guys where they want to go. You don't have to have that 300-pound tackle that just caves the whole side down. Instead, we're just trying to get on bodies and move people where they're wanting to go. If they're trying to get off you outside, then take them outside. If they're trying to beat you inside, run them down inside. And then our tailback is reading that. He's reading that cut. And the whole time all this is going on, our quarterback is reading that backside end. If that end commits to taking the tailback, the unblocked end or a read end, then he's going to pull the football and keep it. Now, if that end stays home and does what he's supposed to, then we're going to give it to the tailback and let him work off of the blocks up front. And it sounds simple and it sounds basic, but it does take some time. It takes a lot of just offensive linemen understanding what we're wanting. And basically what we want is we want them to get off and just attack and run like crazy and not come off of people. We want to stay on people, and just really pester the heck out of them. And while we're doing all that, hopefully our tailback has been able to find a seam that he can get up north as quickly as possible. If that backside DN stays home and does his job, and we give, a lot of times the play breaks with the tailback bending it back across the center. Because what happens is we're asking our front guys to take them where they want to go. Well, they see that tailback start with the ball and try to come across the center, they're all going to flow that way. When they start flowing, we're just going to try to wash it that way. And when that happens, normally your tailback, if you've got a decent tailback, he'll put his foot in the ground and just bend that thing back across the grain. And that's when we get our biggest gains on that particular play. Everything else that we run offensively comes off of that. And we're a run-first offense. We're spread, and we've got receivers all over the field, and it looks pretty and cute and all that. But we want to run the football. We want to pound the football. And if we're successful, if we're winning games, it's because we can run the football, even though we're not doing it in maybe the traditional power or I-type set.
Do you teach any kind of anticipation drills to the tailback, or is this something that you rely on their natural ability?
A lot of it is just experience running the play. And we will run this play, and we will run this play practice. We'll have a period in practice where we may not do anything but run one play, run the zone. And, you know, we may go 10 or 12 minutes of just running one play. And because the play breaks at so many different places, sometimes defensively it looks like we're running three or four different plays, but we're only running one play, and it could break in a lot of different places in a lot of different ways. But the tailback, initially when we first get them as freshmen, we're telling them to read through that center. You know, that center is going to kind of tell you where the flow is and what the defense is trying to do. But what we try to teach them is to read flow of the defense. You know, how is the defense flowing? Is the defense really flowing hard? Then that tells you you're going to cut it. If you feel our offensive linemen getting a push and they're really getting a drive coming off the line of scrimmage, duck your head and get in behind them, because you're going to have something to work with. And the third thing, I guess, is like I said earlier, is patience. Because sometimes what will happen is if your offensive line does get a push and they're starting to move the line of scrimmage, which we always want, if our tailback kind of ducks in behind them and lets them do their thing, then he'll probably get a second read where he's going to squirt out of that. And, you know, a lot of great zone tailbacks are your 5'6", 5'7", guys that aren't very big, that kind of get in there behind those offensive linemen and just kind of let them do their thing. And they just sort of hide in there behind them. And the next thing you know, boom, he squirts out of there and he's down the field, boogity boogity. So it's not a lot of, you know, you do this, put your foot here, do that, like sort of the old, some of our traditional stuff where everything had an exact step that you're going to take. But I think it relies more on just patience and experience running the play. And once you get them to where they're juniors and seniors and they start understanding defensive fronts and all that kind of stuff, they can start to tell you in a film session, zone's probably going to break here. If they line up this way, the cut's probably going to be here. And they can start anticipating some of those things as they get a little, you know, get a little smarter, get a little more experienced to start understanding the offense. And we've, you know, this is the fourth year that we've run this offense. So we've finally got quarterbacks and tailbacks and receivers who have been in this thing for 4 years. And a lot of our success offensively has just been because of the experience level. And they understand where things are going to work and how, you know, where routes are going to break and where cuts are going to be in the running game. So I attribute experience to more of it than anything.
We're talking with Coach Laws from A.C. Reynolds High School. We're on location in Asheville, North Carolina. We're going to be talking more with Coach Laws. You're listening to the Coach's Corner radio show on the CompuSports Radio Network. If you have material in book form or article form or a video, maybe you've just got a souped-up PowerPoint presentation and you'd like to come on the program, you can email me at john@compusportsradio.com and we'll talk some football. That's John, J-O-H-N, at compusportsradio.com.
Coach's Corner with John Anderson on the CompuSports Radio Network.
We're on location in Asheville, North Carolina. We're with head coach Shane Laws at A.C. Reynolds High School, home of the Rockets, here on the Coach's Corner radio show. And, Coach, what do you want to cover next?
Well, we'll talk a little bit about speed and tempo because I think that's a huge part of running this offense effectively, or it has been for us. Like I just said, I don't call every play. I call some, but we have an offensive coordinator. Larry Browse has been our offensive coordinator and done a great job with it. He's up top. And, you know, one of the things that we want to be able to do is run our offense as quickly as possible. We want to get as many plays in a drive, or we want to run as many offensive plays each Friday night as possible, because we feel like the more offensive plays we run, the more chance we've got to score points. But, you know, in saying that, we also – you know, we want to score as fast as we can. And it allows us, with Larry being upstairs, it allows us to do that a little more efficiently because he can see the whole field. You know, the play will come from him to our quarterback's coach, and he'll signal it. And what I want to see when we're, you know, we've got different speeds, but at our top speed, which we call Oregon, and when we're in Oregon, we want to be snapping the football with that play clock at 18 seconds or more. You know, if we get under 18, then I feel like we're going too slow. When we're able to do that, the first drive or two that we do that, you know, it may not really affect the defense. We may even have to punt the football away. But it starts to wear on those guys. And, you know, by the time you get in the middle of the second quarter, middle of the third quarter, and on, it's really starting to wear on a team a little bit because you're constantly gunning at them, going as fast as you can. And that's led to a lot of wins for us because we've won a lot of games in the fourth quarter where we've played tough, good football teams and went blow for blow with them. And when we got late in the fourth quarter, we still could put our foot on the gas. And they did too, but they couldn't go anywhere. And it was just, you know, we had just wore the defense out a little bit. From there, that's our fastest speed is Oregon. And like I said, we're going to try to snap it before 18 hits the play clock. From there, we've got what we call jet. And jet is a little slower than Oregon, but we're still trying to go as fast as we can. With jet, when we call jet, that means that we're not going to change the play at the line of scrimmage. We're going to send a play in, and we're going to run it. After jet, we go to regular. And regular for us is as soon as that referee gets off the ball, we're ready to snap the football, but our quarterback's going to check the sideline right before he calls for the snap just so that you know, he can get it up or down. You know, is the play good or not? If the play's good, you know, we'll give him a thumbs up and he'll run it. If we don't like it, our offensive coordinator from up top can see it, doesn't like what we've called, now we've still got plenty of time, we can change it. Obviously, we don't huddle. We never huddle. We haven't huddled in 4 years. We haven't come out of the gun in 4 years. We've only got one play where we go under center, and that's when we have to spike the ball. So a couple years ago, we were working with our quarterback. It was a quarterback coming up from the JVs, and you know, we were teaching him spike. We were working clock management, and when I told him to put his hands under there and take a snap, he looked at me and said, "Coach, I've never done that before." So that was that's where we've come at Reynolds. We've went from the Notre Dame box to the eye to quarterbacks that don't know how to put their hands under center's rear end. So, but
that's an interesting problem.
It is. So when this year when we were going through our clock game, working with our quarterbacks and you know how to handle the clock, we had them all over there teaching them how to put their hands underneath the center's rear end and take a snap directly from the center. But anyway, and then our last speed is what we call Indy. And Indy, all Indy is we're going to line up on the ball like we're going to run a play, and our quarterback's going to make a verbal call, and we're going to call our snap count, but there's no play. And all he's doing is trying to pull those guys offside. And if we're efficient in the way we're running our offense, we could do that two or three times in a row before we actually call a play. And when I say efficient, that means there's plenty of time on the play clock. And – you know, if we've got an aggressive defensive team that's bringing a lot of pressure, that's got a lot of guys that can run and cause you problems, then, you know, we're going to do that a lot. We'll mix that with our Oregon speed, and it kind of keeps them at bay a little bit because we're going super fast in Oregon, then all of a sudden we'll jump into Indy and ready, set, hut, and nothing happens. And then ready, set, hut, and nothing happens. And normally we're going to get them when we're mixing those two speeds. You know, we've had games where we've had 35, 40, or even 45 yards just in pulling teams off sides. But that's just like running the zone. You've got to execute it. We've got to execute Oregon. We've got to be moving the ball. We've got to be gaining yards. We've got to be putting the defense in tough situations, and then we can jump into Indy. But if they're slamming the door shut on everything we do in Oregon, Indy's probably not going to bother them either. But that's the basis. You know, I think the speeds and what the speeds allow you to do creates a whole nother group of problems for a defense. And that was one of the things that we fell in love with early on as well.
Anytime I hear increasing the amount of plays, which I'm going to guess because I've not seen any tape on AC Reynolds, that you're trying to average somewhere close to 80 plays a game.
If we get over 80, which is what I want, if we could get over 80, then we're on. If we get around 80, then we're okay. If we're under 80, then we probably didn't play well.
All right, so I'm going to take a guess with this because I've seen some other teams do different things in the way of their conditioning, is that they start from day one in order to try to condition this particular tempo and this pace. How does AC Reynolds go about that?
We've got a good situation here at AC Reynolds where we have most of our football players in a strength training class pretty much year-round. I added up the time last year. Kids that played football for us last year had a total of about, and varsity, I'm talking about varsity players, they had about 7 weeks total last year in one place or another where they didn't do a single thing for football. And that's not a lot of time for a high school player. And some of that was just lifting weights. Some of it was summer workouts and all that kind of stuff. But our kids are involved in one way or another most of the year. And in saying that, you know, we spend a lot of time in the offseason trying to improve speed and strength. Once the kids get out of school, we give them a little break. You know, they go on vacations and do the fun things you like to do in the summer. And at the end of June, we start our summer conditioning program. And our summer conditioning program is where I tell them, and they know it, that's when we really hit the gas as far as conditioning. We're still going to keep lifting and try to maintain the strength that we've worked hard for in the winter. But we're also now we're trying to get to where we can run 85, 90, 91 plays in a football game. And it's, you know, 3 to 4 days a week. They're here lifting and running, and it's hot, and it's hard, and it's not the fun part of playing football at AC Reynolds. But our goal is when we start August 1st, that first day of regular practice, we want to be in shape. I don't want to spend time in our practice to go run sprints up and down the field. That to me is a waste of time. And secondly, the tempo of our practice. I want practice, bam, bam, bam. We are moving. We're moving. And we'll have a, you know, we may have a 10-minute team offensive period. In 10 minutes, we should be able to run 21, 22 plays easy. And that's what I want. And as the season goes on, that number increases. You know, 10 minutes, now we're up to 25 or 26 plays. And the guys, the offensive guys do okay with it. The guys that hate it are scout D guys because they're trying to get lined up, moved where they're supposed to be because they've got a job that they've won. They've got to get lined up in a defense that most of them aren't familiar with. They're playing somebody else's defense. And on top of that, they're chasing us around. So they get frustrated because they're trying to get lined up where coach wants me to get lined up. But then he's over there running plays so fast that I can't get where I'm supposed to be. But
I'm sure you've heard some pretty vociferous language as a result of that.
Yeah, it gets colorful sometimes. But what I want to see in a period like that is us execute. The kids that are trying to do the scout stuff for us, you know, they do a good job and they're hustling trying to get where they've got to be. But a lot of times we're busting plays because there's nobody there because the young man didn't get lined up the way he needed to. But that's what I want to see on Friday. I want to bust a play not because we were great offensive blockers or offensive linemen, but we may bust a play just because that one technique didn't get lined up in time and we were able to scoot underneath him before he could get lined up because he was trying to get a call from the sideline. He was trying to catch that extra breath of air and we were able to get off and go. You know, that gets simulated in practice. But we push the tempo in practice, and that's something that's kind of spilled over into our defense too. Our defense practices, you know, you'll hear us on our, if you're on our practice field, the thing I probably say more than anything is tempo, 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 speed up, speed up, speed up. And one of our players asked me one time, he says, "Coach, have we ever practiced as fast as you want us to practice?" I said, "No, not yet. We haven't got there yet, but it may happen one day, but I want us to go faster tomorrow than we did the day before. And let's just try to be fast, fast, fast in everything that we do."
We're talking with Coach Shane Laws at AC Reynolds High School. We're on location in Asheville, North Carolina. You're listening to Coach's Corner on the CompuSports Radio Network. We'll be right back.
At CompuSportsMedia.com, our job is to make your job easier and make you a more effective coach. Improve your scouting, game planning, and video analysis with EasyScout XP Plus and the new video scouting edition of EasyScout Professional. They're powerful, flexible, and affordable. Building better game plans for over 25 years. Stretch your dollars with software for scoring and statistics, practice planning, equipment management, and video editing, all from leading publishers and ready for instant download. Improve your defense with ebooks like the highly acclaimed The Master Defense and the 30 Stack Defense, a comprehensive guide to designing and installing a pressure defense. Turbocharge your offense with ebooks from Jerry Campbell, including his latest, Taking the Option Game to the Next Level, and a classic from one of the fathers of option football, Larry Beckish, The Trap Option 40 plus 60 equals option. All the tools you need, priced right, to make this a winning season from CompuSportsMedia.com.
Without you, without you,
I can't stand.
Start over,
I can't stand.
Start over,
I can't stand.
Start over,
without you.
You are listening to Coach's Corner with John Anderson on the CompuSports Radio Network.
This segment of Coach's Corner is sponsored by CompuSports, distributor of the Playmaker Pro and Coach's Office Playbook software packages. Available at CompuSports.com. We're in Asheville, North Carolina, on location at AC Reynolds High School, home of the Rockets, and we have head coach Shane Laws with us, and we've been talking spread and zone option, and we've been talking pace of the game. Do you not feel, Coach, at one point in time, do you not feel sorry for the defensive coordinator across the sideline who's having a nervous breakdown because of your offense?
Well, no. Because I know a lot of the ones we play every season, I know who they are, and I know how good they are. So, and they know us too, and they know that's what we're going to do. So, you know, over time, I don't know how much we've been able to mess with them. As you know, especially the guys in our conference that we play every year, and we've been playing for 100 years. They know what we're going to do. But no, I don't feel sorry for
you
them.
You don't feel sorry for them.
They're trying to keep us from scoring.
Anybody who has heard this program knows that I have a particular disdain for three particular defensive coaches, and for reasons beknownst to myself and everyone else after one particular show. And I'll catch Coach Laws up to speed here after the interview's over with, so he knows what I'm talking about. But just that he knows that I have a particular disdain for three of them, it just kind of carries over to the rest of them. But and you know who you are. And they'll go unnamed, Dan, Don, and Chris. Let's go ahead and let Coach Laws tell us about their option game and screen game here. We'll continue our education here on Coach's Corner with the spread offense.
You know, like I said earlier, nuts and bolts is the inside zone. And that's we're going to spend a lot of time early on working with guys and running that play effectively. You know, everything goes from there. And I think the beauty of the spread offense, especially when you're a no-huddle team, we can call plays based on what the defense has decided they're going to do. Most defenses can't stop everything, and a lot of times they'll tip their hand as to what they're trying to stop on a given play. If we're working our speeds correctly and we're staying on track, then we can make changes at the line of scrimmage and call plays that are more effective to what the defense is lined up in. And now we still got to execute all that, but in saying that, you know, if you want to take the zone away, you can take the zone away. Now, normally, if they'll take the inside zone away, they're giving us speed option. And that's our next one. If we want to run the football, and you know, it's a down that we feel like that's what we need to do, run the football, and they're lined up to take away our zone, then probably you're going to get speed option coming next. You know, another way we'll add the option into it is we'll add an option read for our quarterback on his backside end read on the zone. And the way we do that is we'll bring one of the inside slots in motion in behind the quarterback. Now, not only do we have the option to give on the zone, quarterback's got the option to keep on the zone, and we now have a third option where we can pitch to that slot coming around. And that's been effective for us, especially with a lot of teams that play games with that backside end and the backside linebacker, where they'll squeeze, scrape, and try to do some things to confuse the quarterback and mess his reads up. Well, now we've got an extra guy. We've just brought an extra guy. And that's what everybody's doing. Everybody's trying to outnumber each other. And that's what that allows us to outnumber the defense on the backside. Also, you know, we'll just run straight speed option where we're just going to attack that end or we're going to attack that outside linebacker and force them to make a decision. And the one thing about zone, you know, the zone blocking and going back to our little quick lineman, now we get flow again. We go back to talking about flow, and that quarterback starts reading that flow, and everything is skating towards his pitch man, or everything is skating towards him. A lot of times there's an alley where he can put his foot in the ground and cut it right back up the field and pick up 6-7 yards just getting back underneath those linemen who are taking defensive linemen where they wanted to go. You know, I'm not asking that 210-pound guard to be able to rough up a 270-pound, you know, one technique. If that guy's overpowering and he's bound and determined, he's going flat, we'll take him flat and our quarterback can step back underneath it. And then, of course, we've got a pitch read with that. And probably the next progression for us from zone to option is the quick screen game. We're going to run a lot of quick screens to our outside receivers, using our inside receivers to block those play side corners or depending on how the defense lines up. And then, of course, you got the bubble. You know, everybody likes the bubble screen, and we do too. You know, we'll get in what we call a trio set or a trip set, and we'll bubble that inside slot receiver and hit him as much as we can. And then again, it goes right back to numbers. All we're doing is our offensive coordinator sitting on top. We've got three receivers out there. Do they have three people that can cover them? Is there, you know, where is that third defender located? Is he too far inside the box where he can't get to the bubble? It's a simple numbers game, but it's just like running the eye or the wing tier or anything else. You still got to execute all of it. But the one thing that I fell in love with this offense over was the fact that I always had options. There was always something else to go to when they took away the bread and butter. And for years, like I said earlier, we coached in the eye and power and ISO and blast. You know, that was we made our money off those three plays. And fortunately, we had a lot of years where we could run those the way we needed to. But you always ran up on somebody late in the playoffs that was going to take that away from you. And what do you go to next? And I just didn't feel like there were enough options. The spread allows us for an option for anything. Whatever you take away, we got an answer for. Now, we've got to catch the football. Our receivers have still got to block people. You can give me the bubble, but if my two outside receivers don't block that corner and strong safety coming up, the bubble's still no good, even though that was the answer to the question. That's what all of us spend a ton of time on in practice, or working on those little things so that we can execute the answers to the questions.
Now, you had talked about the bubble screen going outside. Do you have the jailbreak screen coming inside of that?
We do. We do, and we can come back with, we call them our Tarzan and Jane screens, where we'll bring our Tarzan screen. We run to the three receiver side, and Jane, we run to the one receiver side, just bringing that, that jailbreaker, that tunnel type screen back underneath. We've got those, and those are all, those are passes. I think, early on people had the misconception about the spread that you've got to be able to throw the ball vertically down the field for it to work, and you really don't. If you can hit your screens, you can hit your bubbles, you can hit your quick hitches and stop routes, and every once in a while hit something vertical, you've got enough passing game right there to win a lot of games. Now, you're not going to beat everybody with it, but you've got enough right there in just four or five pass plays, and a lot of high school quarterbacks can complete those passes and can be effective, running that stuff. And that's another thing that sold me on it is, we didn't have to have that quarterback every single year who could throw it all over the yard. Now, you got to have one who can run a little bit, and he's got to be able to get out of trouble, and he's got to be smart enough to make good decisions, but he doesn't have to have that D1 arm to be a spread quarterback.
But if they give you that matchup, you're not above taking it, I'm sure.
Oh, if we get it, we're going after it. We've got matchups we're looking for. When we watch tape, there's certain kids that we're trying to get matched up on other kids, and we're looking for that. And when we get it, usually I hear it from up top real quick. I got what I want, here we go. And fortunately, the past couple seasons, it's worked out for us when we got those matchups that we wanted. That's when you get those big plays, and like we talked about screens and zones and options, all that stuff that's all, within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. You run that stuff, and then all of a sudden people get tired of it, and they'll walk an extra guy down in there, or they'll match up somebody man-to-man to help take that away. You got the matchup you wanted now. You got them into what you wanted them to be in, and hopefully you get a big play out of it.
Coach, this has been a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun going around the campus here. Look, this is a beautiful campus out here. Sit out here off Highway 74 in the Fairview area of Asheville. The mountains are high. There's snow on everything. A beautiful field out there. You've got the first-class facility here, and you've got a first-class program here as well. And thank you for letting the World's Worst Radio Show host come in here and be a part of this.
Well, I appreciate you coming over and taking some time with us.
And we're going to have to invite you back on here. This has been too much fun.
Well, I appreciate it.
I want to thank Coach Laws for being on the program, and for everybody else, some final thoughts after this. I want to thank Coach Laws for allowing us to come and invade his premises over there at AC Reynolds High School for a great conversation. And when you go to the clinic and see him teach on this offense, it really brings the entire package together. So what a great time spending time over there with Coach Laws and the folks over there at AC Reynolds High School. And on the next Coach's Corner, we're going to have Dr. Chris Stankovich, sports psychologist extraordinaire. We're going to be talking a lot of topics that you coaches are going to want to hear on the next Coach's Corner. Trust me on this one. And we've got a lot of great guests here coming up on future Coach's Corner programs. It was a great trip to Atlanta and Charlotte to the Glazer Clinics down there. Met a lot of great folks, and we're going to be talking to many of those folks here on future programs. Coach's Corner is an Abundant Harvest production on the CompuSports Radio Network. I'm John Anderson. I'll see you next time.